Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Brad. Brad is a seasoned IT staffing consultant executive. You know, he's been in the industry for more than 25 years now. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mustafa. Happy to be here.
Brad, can you, in brief, 1 minute, share your 25 years of experience?
Yeah, sure. I can probably put it down there in about 30 seconds. So, you know, I entered the industry about two and a half decades ago, really in the early stages of driving IT staffing services into the market. It morphed into working with two of the largest global IT staffing companies in the world and their journey to provide more services around solutions. So I kind of spearheaded the integration of the connection between IT solutions and IT staffing over my career. During that time, it obviously opened doors to be looking at the access to global talent and the marketplace around global talent. As you can imagine, dealing with IT staffing, recruiting, and solutions, there was a time in the mid-2000s when we made major investments globally into investing in distributed captive centers, which I got a lot of experience then in understanding remote work. And then obviously we are here, we're at today, where remote work is defining the future of work as we speak. And it's an interesting evolution that we've been under. So that's just a quick few seconds on my last two and a half decades.
All right. So, and how have you seen the industry evolve over these two and a half decades? You know, maybe you want to give, do you want to share a couple of examples? That would be interesting for, you know, young founders, you know, just hearing out, okay, how did the industry look like 25 years back? Especially, I'm also curious myself, and how is it looking today?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I think, you know, in the early days, you know, there were already large outsourcing organizations, particularly originating out of India, that was exporting talent and IP of talent into North America in the very early days of the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, whether we realize it or not, it was an introduction to remote work, distributed work, particularly for outsourcing. And, you know, one of the big requirements at that time was that it was kind of a closed off distributed network of talent that didn't really leverage video conferencing and other things that we've come to utilize today on a ready basis, because the technology wasn't there. So there was a demand to access great talent at a cost-contained kind of structure, but at the same time, it was very distributed. Work happened within the centers, and work was distributed back to the investors that were utilizing those services to be able to support application development, systems integration, and other types of elements of running a business from an IT perspective. And those were the early days. And I think at the time, you know, people were very much supportive of accessing that global network of resources and the costs that came with them. But there was skepticism that was also built into that as well. And, you know, a lot of times companies were a little bit hesitant to make that investment. They wanted to travel to these global centers and really get to know, touch, and feel the talent that was there. That was a big requirement in those early days. And so if you were providing those services or they were investing in those services, there was a big commitment to stay highly connected. I think over the last two decades, we saw several big events. We saw moving to off-prem from on-prem security and data centers when it came to moving more things to the cloud. We've had an evolution of cloud-based development in the last decade. So half my time in the industry started to morph into more virtualization, which, and at the same time, maturity was starting to develop within the buyer community to trust the talent that was coming in remotely and distributed through a global network. And then obviously making investments like I did in the US-based centers, to where talent would come to a US-based center and still work distributedly and remotely. So we saw this kind of evolution of trust established, but technology was lagging, I think, to be able to connect it in a way that would be more universal. And that brings us kind of to where we're at today, to where the situation that we recently went through with COVID and the pandemic has accelerated both the cultural and operational support for remote work, but it's also saw the advent of the technology that was in development to be pulled to the forefront. And that technology was timed perfectly for us to deal with what we went through last year. And that evolution, again, not to use the word twice, but I'll throw it out there. It escalated and accelerated the demand for remote work, the support for it, and it changes the landscape of the way we think about production with our with resources that work predominantly off premises.
Got it. Makes sense. No, that's really, you know, really insightful, you know. So my next question would be, you know, in regards to managing remote teams across multiple time zones, you know. So for a young startup founder, you know, who's in that cycle or whirlpool, you know, what top three pieces of advice would you give to them?
Yeah. So, you know, managing remote teams is a skill set.
Managing remote teams across multiple time zones.
Yes. Yes. And so a couple of things, look at that in two different spectrums. Number one, just the skill set of leadership to evolve, to be able to manage remote teams, even beyond the sector of IT, is starting to become a requirement for all management and leadership. And that's still on the forefront of teaching and providing that level of capability to new managers to do so. So that's something evolving and is absolutely important, I think, for all future leaders. But when you think about startups and you think about the leveraging ability to tap into this global network of talent, number one, it's critical because of the ability to access talent that brings some cost savings. Number one, there's a time zone compatibility that you've got to look for based off of your existing business model. You can apply a follow the sun structure if you tag those in properly, which I think is very, very important. And that's something that I think every startup needs to kind of analyze based off of their current structure of their platform or their services they're looking to render as to what optimal time zone out there is compatible. I think the other thing, too, I would suggest is, you know, there's an understanding that the primary destination is Asia. I think that's changed dramatically. There are some in the last decade, there has been the ability to expand into time zones that bring great talent and great cost capability into LATAM, into Eastern Europe, into other parts of the world that typically were really kind of thought secondly behind Asia and India. So that would be another element that I would encourage anyone to explore. And then lastly, you know, now that we're living in a world to where the captive center is no longer kind of opaque, if you will, when it comes to communication and it comes to the ability to touch and feel and actually connect via the video conferencing platforms we have today, creating a culture and a sequence as well as a frequency around connecting in those areas, I think is going to be very valuable to build more interpersonal relationships with your talent that you have working globally through the video conferencing capabilities versus what we had to leverage in the past.
Got it. Makes sense. So my last two questions would be, you know, like you've mentioned that because of the pandemic, many things have been fast tracked, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think this remote culture is here to stay and it's going to keep on growing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a great question and one that I feel very strongly about. I'll open it up with just basically kind of an observation that I think that is important to recognize right now, and that the information age is beginning to, in my opinion, reverse the industrial age. The industrial age 100 years ago really created this industrial complex that we all work with in, which is very much on-premise structures from the office setting and the hierarchies that come with that. I think remote work is, and the technology supporting remote work is reversing that trend. And that trend's very positive, I think, for the employers and for workers that can find something that's beyond work-life balance and what I would consider work-life harmony, and the ability to be productive, remote, and flexible. High demand talent has high demands. And as now we're seeing a world where that demand and that skill set is becoming more centered around the leverage that that individual has is more of a worker's market than, say, an employer's market, and employers are having to adjust. So I think the future of work is hybrid. I think it's based on conditions and skills that align well with the way an organization understands elements of their business that are optimal for remote work, some that is optimal for pure on-prem, and then some that's optimal for more of a hybrid model. I think workers are now seeking more flexibility when it comes to jobs that they're looking for. I think the next generation, the younger generation, is going to enter the workforce with this as a standard, not as something that's an experiment, which I think is going to be very, very critical to think about as future employers begin to evaluate the way they want to attract and retain talent. So they'll have to adjust to get the best talent. I also see a rise in remote work platforms that will be created for what I would think is a large developing independent worker class that desires a work from anywhere lifestyle to balance and leverage these work platforms to market their talents, and by removing a lot of those middle layers that have been built between an employer seeking talent and talent seeking that employer. So I think that's a burgeoning part of the industry that's promoting remote work and promoting lifestyle that I think is going to be a very, very big part of the next generation of digital workforce that's being developed today.
Got it. Brad, last question. You know, I'm really enjoying the conversation, but, you know, we're kind of like time bound by our marketing team to restrict these podcasts. But, you know, last question, in regards to, you know, your own personal productivity hacks, you know, during the COVID, you know, with the lockdowns happening and everything, you know. So what kind of like routine you adopted in your own life to help you go through the day?
That's a good question. So, you know, again, so I had been working somewhat remotely in my industry for a while. So the shift to pure remote work wasn't a big leap for me. But, you know, a couple of necessities that I've always had that I think was important to me in working from home and working from a home office is to have a routine. That's a starting point. And my routine started with time before my day to invest in myself, whether it's through a podcast, whether it's through other ways to prepare the day that I'm going to be having with a lot of screen time, so that, you know, I've kind of got the day started with, you know, something that's about me and something that I feel that puts me centered, because I'm going to be giving a lot of myself throughout the day through a lot of video conferencing. So I always definitely encourage someone to have a routine that's broken up through the day that allows you to take a step back, disconnect, and reconnect with yourself. And I do that three times a day, from the start of my day, midday, and then kind of as the close of my day. I think the other element is just really around the tech, right? I think that it's important these days to make good investments in the right type of web cameras, the right type of audio devices. I love the Jabra's products line that they have around, I think it's kind of like their little disc that they use that connects, it brings great audio in and get great feedback from that perspective as well. So, you know, having good tech to get leverage that's reliable, I think is going to be very important for everybody to take an investment in. And, you know, I would say you get what you pay for. This is something that's a part of your everyday life working remotely. And you definitely want to get the right technology in place to have a good experience for yourself. And at the same time, give a good experience to those that that you'd be, you know, interfacing with from that perspective. Lastly, I'd say, you know, I'm not a big fan of the digital backgrounds that come with a lot of the platforms out there. I think it's fun. It's creative to create a digital background. I think it's important to be who you are at home and be authentic. And, you know, it's okay. And I think it's awesome that the backdrop of your video conferencing tells a story about yourself, whether it's the types of books that you have, or the types of things that you're interested in, obviously from family to and beyond. I think that humanizes the experience working digitally through video conferencing. And I'd encourage people to do so, you know, and reveal a little bit about yourself when it comes to the backgrounds that you provide, that given a little bit of insight in who you are and what makes you you. I think it creates a more human connection through this digital void that we work on through every day. So those are a few of my hacks there, Mustafa.
They're interesting and I love them. I really love them, you know. Brad, thank you so much for being on the show. You know, it was a pleasure having you. We could have talked for another half an hour for sure, but I'm sorry, we have to keep them based on our marketing style. Thank you so much for being on the show, and take care of yourself and stay safe.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you having me. Take care.